Okay, this is side three of session 17, September 18th, 2006. I'm the McLuhan part of my book, and we're dealing with a Playboy quote, and we were talking about the difference between me surviving the technological change versus McLuhan having a harder time going through the different shifts from 1940s to 1980. And I was saying, well, I wasn't a meat eater, and he was a mixed bag, a bit of meat and a bit of organic bread in the 70s. Even did some, he's a Catholic, but he even did some yoga in the 70s with his wife, who got into yoga. But I was saying that TV is a lighter, the mixed corporate media super discarnate state of the satellite environment would lead to less meat body embedment, and so that's why vegetarianism would take over, and other kinds of non-American eating habits. Interest in Asian foods, other cultures. McLuhan predicted that in Life magazine in the 1966 article on him. He said people were getting interested in cheeses and that. Cheese, due to TV effect. And that would probably brought in the pizza fad in the middle 60s, which I associate with in America around that time period. Anyways, the vegetarianism or the light, less meat-eating, heavy food thing, McLuhan predicted in the 50s that would be a product of the TV age. And he quotes Wyndham Lewis, who talks about the people running BBC, the radio world, in the 40s and 50s as homosexual vegetarians.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe got drowned out there as homosexual vegetarians. Dog drowned that out.
Right.
Okay, so let's continue the...
He predicted a lot of things. Didn't he predict the Berlin Wall?
Yes, basically McLuhan predicted everything.
He predicted tattoos and body piercing and...
That's right. He did everything. The point is that because he's using literacy and art and the whole mixed media panoply, anybody who... Let's deal with ESP. We're dealing with ESP. We have the traditional cultural reference of ESP. And people run around trying to ask project or learn how to meditate and predict the future through astrology, and they're sitting right in front of them, an invisible environment, a guy who did it all on a whole different new level, and you got to learn the media yoga that he's talking about, not the old yoga. It's just, him sitting there in an invisible environment with a new kind of techniques of feed forward or anticipating ESP, whatever you different definitions you put in ESP, people are projecting these old cultural references that are old hat and been erased by the blur of mixed corporate media. This prophetic element in them was based on looking at the Android meme or what was becoming the Android meme. He was studying how it was going to project back into the matrix, people's old-fashioned versions of ESP. And there's an interesting thing is, I was going to say something about Finnegan's Wake, is that you said McLuhan was obscure. People thought he was being obscurantist. Well, look how obscure people thought Joyce was being with Finnegan's Wake. I mean, even Pound got a little irritated by it. But the point is that what appeared to be obscurantism or obtuseness, that was your word, obtuseness, was not. They were showing what was right in front of everybody. And once McLuhan and Joyce could see what they could see, they were in another dimension. And so everybody projected rearview mirror projections on them, and they couldn't see that these guys could see could be prophetic just by seeing the nature of the media-generated present.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I make fun of the Gurdjieffians and anybody out there. If you haven't gotten into McLuhan and sort of mastered him, you're an amateur, and you're subject to all the problems that leads to, usually cult behavior.
Well, Marshall was dealing with the immediate environment, the world of language and media that we live in. Gurdjieff was maybe dealing with other dimensions unseen, maybe not even part of this world. I don't know if it's fair to compare the two.
No, you need to read McLuhan's Medium in the Light, where he talks about how the media affects the future, and the traditional prophetic multidimensional views of Gurdjieff or yogis or whoever, he was including that. That's what people don't get. I mean, he wasn't just a book guy or a guy dealing with language. And you see that in his book, The Medium in the Light. I met this woman yesterday who, she might be in her 30s, and she's She's a librarian, but she's doing a her PhD on theology. And I said, are you Protestant or Catholic? And she said, I'm Catholic. And I said, well, you got to read McLuhan. He's the guy who dealt with the new theology, created a new theology. People didn't know that's what he was doing, but he was wrestling with the problem of being a Catholic, traditional theology, and the new effects of media. So she had heard of McLuhan. She said, no, I didn't know that. I said, yeah, look at the book, The Medium and the Light. So, you know, the thing is to read, you know, I have all these different quotes here from McLuhan through different aspects of them just to show you the range. But it's the actual work of going and reading all his books and seeing how much he covered. I mean, I think I remember you read Understanding Media about 5 years ago, and you were just amazed by it. There was so much stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But people don't have the time to read it, but if you get the time and read it, then you'll see why I'm saying my stuff, because there ain't much that he didn't cover.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he talked about, his term for the Gurdjieff world was the Castanedas. He would make fun of the Carlos Castaneda guys. He would describe what they were interested in as an effect, subconscious effect of what was going on, because anything about, we haven't, science is...
Well, the shaman tradition, the Yaqui tradition that Carlos Castaneda tapped into was ancient. It was much older than modern media times.
So that's the point, is that McLuhan, you begin with Wyndham Lewis's statement, the artist is older than the fish. Okay, the human being, the mind of the human is older than first nature. Okay, the shaman, Ted Carpenter said McLuhan was a shaman, but he was a new kind of shaman that dealt with the new situations. All the old shamans deal with limited effects. There's power in their techniques and their magic, and they can affect people and transform them at a certain point, but the transformation is done on the chemical body or the astral body. It does not deal with the collective ESP that we're living in which we're describing on this session. How do you deal with this collective post-ESP, not 19th century ESP group? McLuhan came up with a term. He said, we're no longer angels. He says people fantasied to be angels or fantasy that there was angels. Now, that's a metaphor for other dimensions. He says the thing about angels is that they could be wherever they wanted to be. But when they were wherever they went, that's the only place they were. Then they would go somewhere else. But when we're super angelic, we're everywhere at once. And so he came up with this term, super angels, to show that all the shamanic, whatever culture, which is talking about other dimensions, symbolized by the word angel, is superseded by the super angelic. And this takes a brave effort by one's mind to get a handle on what this means, the implications. That's why I cite the cosmic awareness. Awareness said, you know, through Jay Worster and Ralph Doobie before him, that Rai, the original separateness or spirit that created this dimension, has returned to the plane of essence. That's like saying in some ways that this world was created by Lucifer, and Lucifer's returned to essence. And we ain't even in that metaphysical problem. We're what Nietzsche predicted, beyond good and evil. That's way beyond even those terms. It's beyond the beyond. We're in a situation that is so amazing for what humans have lived through in the tradition, spiritual and physical, they've created, that to say that we are more, that the original separateness has disappeared, and we are unified, so unified and fused on those deepest levels, and that is a product of the fact we're in a weird new environment. And the popular expression is that the humans are gone, humans are obsolete, and the machines have taken over. That's an expression of something super angelic that's happened. But it's not, McLuhan realized it's not limited to the idea of machines have superseded humans. It's not, because the machines are extensions of us. So it's a very complex situation. And no cultural, religious, shamanic, or artistic, movie, film institute, television, voodoo can deal with this.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but as you talk about it, it seems to, you know, I can conceptualize what you're saying to some degree. I can intuit what you're saying to some degree. But nobody is experiencing what you're talking about.
Well, they are, but they don't know how to translate it. So, yes, what you do is you read McLuhan, LaRouche, Thompson, Croker, myself, get into the books or some of the other things, Thomas Pynchon. You read these things as exercises, the new kind of yoga that gets you meditating on it. And you'll be surprised. It'll start to make sense. But, yes, you're not going to get it from a meaning-to-meaning, mind-to-mind
transfer. What kind of a creature is it going to turn you into when you lose your all sense of personal identity and become some multidimensional, you know...
Terminator cyborg.
Yeah, well, everywhere all at once kind of guy.
Yeah, and that's why we have to get into the four bodies. Each body has a huge different landscape. So, yeah, this is a big task to understand what I am intuiting these guys are referring to. Mm-hmm. And all the things I advocate, their sources of information, are means, are your prayer mats. You know what I mean? It's what you work with, what you meditate on, what evokes imagery in your mind, or whatever you think you need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Getting is awake, that's a tough book to crack. Most of the things I have in my chart that are sort of implied, that are recommended, most people don't have time to do it. Ain't going to do it.
We don't even know if Joyce had as far out as an interpretation of Finnegan's Wake as you and Marshall do.
Well, no, Joyce, talking to him through the evergreens, he's not. McLuhan extended it, but he said McLuhan was the closest to what he was talking about. You have to go back. I mean, those guys are pretty far out. They had a lot of stuff to work with back in the time of H.G. Wells and all that.
Did you ask him what he thought of Campbell's interpretation of the wake?
No, I didn't. I don't think so. I stuck with the Ten Thunders and the McLuhan stuff.
Right.
And that seemed to be...
Beck's thesis?
Oh, yeah. He says the history of technology is embedded in the Thunders. He agreed with Eric.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Mm.
So... And, you know, Campbell's not even anywhere near that. He's not even on the... He didn't even make the short list. But let's just go back to some of the quotes here, because we'll move along with these other quotes from McLuhan. I'm trying to express something here. I never got the Super Angel quote in there, but I don't think that was ever written out. It was more just spoken in different seminars, he would say, that idea. Anyways, the next quote, so just rereading... The guy says, are you talking about global telepathy? That's like the biggest thing the guy could think of. It's not what everybody's globally fused. He goes, precisely. Already computers offer the potential of instantaneous translation of any code or language into any other code or language. If a data feedback is possible through the computer, that means translation. Why not a feed forward of thought whereby a world consciousness links into a world computer? Now, how he would do that was the global thermostat of... using a computer to say, okay, all these things are happening in Venezuela because they got too much radio, so let's turn off the radio and give them TV. So he's talking about modulating populations, chemical bodies, and cultures' reactions to different media environments, measurable through crowd profiles that statistical speed of the computer could create. That is what he's talking about, anticipatory democracy, massive macro-environment management. He called that a feed-forward of thought, whereby world consciousness links into a world computer. Well, it links in the matrix sense. That's one 19th century sense, but also using a computer and relying on it, studying the effects.
Okay. You know, the Wachowski brothers ought to do a real movie about this, you know, where they have...
Yeah, they're attempting it with The Matrix and V for Vendetta. They're too young to understand it, but if they studied Bob stuff, then they could make a really up-to-date movie.
I don't know that I would throw V for Vendetta in there. It doesn't seem to me to have had the power of the earlier movies, The Matrix.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's reacting to the Bush, supposed Bush paranoia. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's retrieving 1984, which is silly.
Did you hear about that new...
From what I've heard, there's some things in there that might... They it's not just literally redoing 1984. They had a new take on it. Maybe there's some interesting things if you look at it closely... Its overall theme isn't too perceptive, but there might be some details. When I see it, I'll see if it's true. There might be some things there where they were trying to do something that The Matrix is trying to express.
Did you hear about that new movie that's about to be released where the actor plays President Bush and gets assassinated in the movie?
Yeah, I heard all about it. It was heard on the radio today. It was voted the top movie at the Toronto Film Festival, which, you know, is a big film festival, one of the major ones of the year.
Yeah.
And of course, the conservatives were all pissed off at it. The Americans, Rush Limbaugh, I think I heard talking about it. They're angry about it.
Yeah.
And, I heard it on Drudge last night. At the radio for a minute, and Drudge had this guy on, and he was a film reviewer up there, and he said he was objecting to it. I think it's. I thought it was a Canadian movie, but it's a British movie, a European-made movie.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's part. It is obviously a knee-jerk bullshit attack on the image of Bush, and all the criticism is justified. But there's always other levels that nobody even knows how to look at it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wish fulfillment. It's like modern voodoo. Let's make a movie and hope that it gets activated.
Mm-hmm.
It comes to the next quote we're coming up to. I'll get to that in a minute. But anyways, the. Yeah, you're right. The Wachowski brothers, I'm sitting there, I'm the hidden environment. If any of these guys came to me, I'd stimulate them into making a better movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I give them the scenario and they try to understand it. And just the images they'd come up with, they'd realize, oh, okay, we can do this. Make this point rather than the old cliche point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they could make something good if they... It's just like McLuhan, sitting there in the middle. Nobody fully realized what it was, just like they didn't realize the implications of Finnegan's Wake. Okay, on to the next quote from the book Cultures Are Business, page 82. McLuhan says, the present electric ESP age of multiple interfaces. See, he's trying to describe the new kind of ESP. Multiple interfaces, not one-on-one interface, multiple, 15 different directions. I was going to say that string theory and the developments in the post-quantum or quantum physics, they're just approximating the physics that McLuhan's talking about in media dynamics. But they translate back into mathematical literate space.
Mm-hmm.
But they're being forced to change, because string theory is a theory based on no evidence, no anything, which the traditional physicists find pretty weird that it's being accepted, but there's nothing there, other than that it's resonating with the idea of a musical ground vibrating strings as the root of the physical makeup of the universe.
Yeah.
So think of this. This quote is anticipating string theory. The present electric ESP age of multiple interfaces finds no problems in metamorphosis or transubstantiation, such as baffled ABCDE-minded culture of the 16th century and after. Next one, and this relates to the voodoo. Something I said I relate to, was it something with the Wachowski brothers or about media management?
No, the Bush movie.
Oh, yeah, the Bush, yeah, it's voodoo. Well, here it is. This quote from Cultures Are Business, 1970 book also, page 276. The cavemen of Madison Avenue have begun to get sensitive to the ESP power of names to shape such control energies. Well, by this late date, the Genetics and baby boomer generation are going to use the ESP power of whole movie dynamics rather than just names to shape perception and to control energies. And they're cavemen. Cavemen, they made art that wasn't meant to be seen. They wanted to make an image of the buffalo in a dark cave and use that as a kind of voodoo to evoke the buffalo come so they could get some successful hunting done. So it's working in tactile spaces as art. So that's what they're doing with this movie. And the directors, I assume they're conscious of their real motives, but they're not going to admit them, so they have a whole bunch of verbiage to cover it up. Or they don't even know they're trying to do that and generally think they're making some other scenario. But they're cavemen. Cavemen of Madison Avenue, or today of Hollywood, have begun to get sensitive to the ESP power of movies to shape perceptions and to control energies. And movies is just a spin-off of the fact the word makes the market. The real caveman is the White House saying that what they say, that 9-1-1 was not a conspiracy, that it wasn't demolition, and they give reports on vaccination and this and that. They're always giving reports on what the reality is, and that is the caveman operation, to control and shape perception and control energies.
Mm-hmm.
So the cavemen of the White House have begun to get sensitive to the ESP power of not communicating to shape perception and to control energies.
Well, one thing's for sure, the White House doesn't match public perception. Most people nowadays believe in some kind of UFO situation.
Right.
But the White House says, nope, there's no such thing.
And the White House is all that there is. It represents the Android meme. It determines reality for the market. And it may be smart to do that. It stabilizes. Because meanwhile, you got Pamela Stonebrooks hallucinating all over the place.
That's an inside joke. People who listen to the tape aren't going to know her, but...
Yeah, Pamela Stonebrook. I tell you that talking to Jack Sarfatti when I met him last September 11th, it came up. I brought up Pamela Stonebrook or something, and he goes, "Oh, you know where she is?" And he says, "You mean the blonde bombshell?" I think he said something like that. I said, "Yeah." I said, "Remember she came out and met you?" And he says, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I'm the one who got her turned on to you." And after I met in Mesquite, Nevada. Met her in August 99. She got interested in your stuff and went up and met you. He goes, "Yeah." He said, "You know what happened to her?" I said, "Well, I used to have her phone number. I don't know if she's still at that number." He said, "Well, if you get in touch with her, I'd like to talk to her again." So that was a little thing about family came up between Jack and I, you know, one of the little passing topics.
Yeah.
So I looked at my card, and I had the number, and I called it, but there's no answer machine. I got to do it again. Maybe she doesn't have an answer machine, or doesn't answer it, or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't talked to her in about 5 years, maybe 6 years. Okay, so on to we're talking about this quote from Cultures Are Business, page 276. The cavemen See, we're cavemen. You know, people think we're modern or postmodern or 19th century people, whatever they think we are, 20th century. No, we're cavemen. And look at the White House. There's one cave fighting the image of bin Laden as another guy in a cave, right?
Mm-hmm.
The cavemen of Madison Avenue have begun to get sensitive to the ESP power of names to shape perception and to control energies. He then has another quote from that book, Cultures Are Business, page 180. He says, in the same way, the filling in of the gap between the old biological environment of our bodies, I would call that the chemical body, and the new electric environment of our extended nervous system automatically evokes the world of ESP and LSD. Another evokes means that people will get into fantasies or efforts to have ESP and take LSD to approximate the experience of living in the gap between the biological environment of our bodies and the new electronic environment of our extended nervous system, or what I would now call the TV body. Back then it was an extended landscape, but as the digital world has come in and shrunk them down and made them tiny and then made them little barnacles on our bodies, they're basically new little bodies added to us. That's the nanotechnology, the chip body and the TV body. It's already here. In the sense of being small compared to the previous huge macro electronic landscapes, right?
Mm-hmm.
The landscapes of telegraph, radio, TV, computer, satellite, all miniaturized now. We're little kids bigger than the computerized environment. In the same way, the filling in of the gap between the old biological environment of our bodies and the new electric environment of our extended nervous system automatically evokes the world of ESP and LSD. You see, right there he's telling you, there ain't no more biology, right?
Right.
Okay, the next quote from... See, I'm going through these quotes from Take Today on ESP. This one's from Take Today, the book that came out in 1972, written from 1968 to 72. This is page 14, joint authorship, Marshall McLuhan, Barry Nevitt. McLuhan says, when a man-made environment circumvents the entire planet, moon, and galaxy... See, it goes right through the whole galaxy. There is no alternative to total knowledge programming of all human enterprise. There's no alternative to programming people. So when you were talking an hour or two ago about us being programmed, that's natural now. Back then it was natural. That's what the Secret Council 10 knew. And the programming is a counter to the chaos of the present. It's a form of reestablishing cliche archetype stability. Then McLuhan says, any form of imbalance proves fatal at electric speeds. And we're in a constant state of imbalance under the chaotic global theater. So any form of imbalance proves fatal at electric speeds with the superpowers released by the new technological resources representing the full spectrum of the human senses and faculties. Survival now would seem to depend upon the extension of consciousness itself as an environment. This extension of consciousness has already begun with the computer and has been anticipated in our obsession with ESP and occult awareness. Now, maybe I read that too fast. Maybe you should read it.
The whole paragraph or the last sentence?
The whole paragraph, page... 14 from Take Today.
All right. When a man-made environment circumvents the entire planet, moon, and galaxy, there is no alternative to total knowledge programming of all human enterprise. Any form of imbalance proves fatal at electric speeds with the superpowers released by the new technological resources representing the full spectrum of the human senses and faculties.
Full spectrum, that's like the whole thing, that's tactile, all the senses.
Survival now would seem to depend upon the extension of consciousness itself as an environment. This extension of consciousness has already begun with the computer and has been anticipated in our obsession with ESP and occult awareness.
Okay, now total knowledge programming of all human enterprise. I would say that's the chemical biological environment that's programmed. But the TV body and the chip body are what's unreleasing these superpowers. And to control that, you need the computer to do feed forward. But people project this kind of new post-Rai unified awareness and world. They do it in terms of chemical body. So they think of ESP imagery of the 19th century, occult awareness of the 19th century, or Gurdjieff stuff. All of that is nowhere near the android meme form of ESP. You get what I'm saying? So then you come to the next quote from Take Today, page 193, where he says in big capital letters, ESP is old hat when effects precede causes, when ESP is already environmentally happening daily, which creates chaos for the chemical brain. The patterns of formerly hidden processes now begin to obtrude on every hand. In other words, everybody begins to see the processes. They don't know what's making them see it, but they're seeing all kinds of patterns. Tim Leary's, you know, ideology of expanding your mind is so puny compared to this, what McLuhan's getting at. So McLuhan says prescience, prophetic vision, and artistic awareness are no longer needed to establish an understanding of the most secret causes of personal and social processes. Technological environments are the causes of personal and social stages of apprehension. I just supplemented that. Then he says, mere electric...
You know, I don't know if it's fair to make that comment about... I'll just play devil's advocate for a minute and make that comment about Tim Leary, because Tim was probing the deep biological, in a sense, circuitry of the human brain. He was transversing levels of consciousness from ordinary human states to neurological states to DNA states to quantum states of consciousness. And the human brain is pretty complex, even, you know, when held up against the backdrop of technology and machines. You know, we're dealing with pretty complex territory. So I don't know if it's right to just trivialize, you know, like the
it
work.
It is right, because the old biological environment is gone. That includes our DNA, our genes, neurological, all the stuff you were quoting that Leary is probing is the chemical body, what I call the chemical body.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It's this, what we call the physical body, but it's controlled by a map created out of Western science. But we have these new unmapped bodies, the TV body and chip body. So what Leary was doing, because the biological environment was obsolete by 1945, Leary came along and turned it into an art form, a plaything.
Yeah, but man-made machines, which we're talking about when we're talking about the technological landscape, are crude compared to the bio computer wetware between your two ears and your brain.
Right, but to think that our minds are between our two ears is missing the point. It's the map of the chemical body, which the Western science and IG Farb and pharmaceutical combine has combined, has imposed on people. Why think that our bodies, that our minds are limited to the chemical skull? McLuhan said it was the Greeks who put the skin around our body percept. We're talking body percept here. And the body percept is not limited to chemical knowledge. It's not, it's knowing that the mind has a lot more going on to the point that it could melt the world towers on 911, the global mind, the global ESP, and that mind is not inside between the ears. It is in another dimension, another space, engendered by actual environments, physical environments called the electronic digital world. That's what we're saying, that your mind is not inside between your skull. Your mind is externalized.
Well, when we talk about the 9/11 and the building collapsing under the weight of the attention of consensus observation, we're talking about the collective observation and viewpoint of, you know, millions of people, not just one,
yes,
you know, individual.
Right. And Leary, therefore, the individual body becomes an art form and plaything. And so you had the sexual revolution, you had the drug revolution. These were playing with an old body percept. And yet, but the problem is that Leary would end up with a limited fad movement. Wouldn't last, wouldn't have any staying power, because it was limited in its scope of what it intended to expand. He talked about expanding consciousness. He was expanding biological consciousness. But dealing with the super angelic consciousness, post-Ra'i retrieving, you know, Ra'i disappears as a form of separateness. Beginning with that, the given, is what, it's like the last phrase in Finnegan's Wake.
He also understood something about media, because he used the media to get his message out, and he did it, and he was successful in creating a media image and in using the media to his own ends.
But who did he go to get the method to do that?
I guess he looked to Marshall.
Well, yeah, it's all written out in flashbacks, Leary's biography, autobiography.
Yeah.
It was McLuhan. You read the quotes that McLuhan says there. He says, Tim, you won't be relevant until the computer speeds up human perception a little faster over the next 10 years. Then people will understand what you're saying.
Oh.
You're ahead of your time. And then he inspired Leary, and Leary went home, had a shower, and came up with the phrase, turn on, tune in, drop out. Was that, what was the phrase?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, but it was all Because he meant the real present. And the present, he translated the real present, McLuhan, back into his context, his rearview mirror context. And now remember what happened. I mean, I talked to Leary about this in 93 when Nelson and I did the TV show with him in California. You know about that.
Yeah,
I've even seen it.
I've seen it.
You've seen it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good
show. The point is that at that point, he was going around with a little slideshow, you know, lecture, and he'd begin with Socrates, then go through the history of media, and then he'd end with McLuhan and say McLuhan was the new Socrates. In his later years, he realized the limitations of the vision he had in the 1670s, and he knew McLuhan was the guide to what he was talking about when he got so hipped on computers and virtual reality.
Mm.
So that's case closed. A little leery, belatedly at the end, realized McLuhan was the guy to study. And then, of course, when he died, and 5 months later I interviewed him through the Evergreens, he goes into even more. And you can go to my website and read that interview.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's up there. If not, it'll be up there someday. But it was published at Flipside. I mean, Leary talks about how, you know, in the latter years, of, in his 80s, in the 80s and 90s, before he died, it was McLuhan that he meditated on.
Well, and he still didn't get it, because you found a copy of McLuhan's, one of McLuhan's books on his bookshelf, and signed by either Marshall or his wife, and he'd never read it.
It's the book we're quoting from, Take Today, signed by Corinne. Corinne probably gave it to him, you know, after Marshall died in 1980, so Leary encountered Corinne somewhere, maybe through Mary McLuhan, who knew a lot of these California people, you know, one of Corinne's daughters. And Leary gave her, he had the book, or she gave it to him, and she signed it, yeah, and he knew nothing about it. As a matter of fact, I know Nelson, in preparing for the interview, was reading excerpts of Take Today and things like that to Leary and blowing Leary's mind, just reading the new McLuhan, as far as for Leary, it was the new McLuhan. He didn't even know this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, look at these quotes. This is way beyond anybody who thought ESP is old hat when effects precede causes. Most people wouldn't even understand that. But it's not that you can't understand it. You can do your study, a few years of study and paying attention, you'll begin to understand this. And I haven't finished the quote. Because he says, prescience, prophetic vision, and artistic awareness, that means from any culture, any religion, any form of that inspired spirit that's been our history for thousands, is inadequate. Because they're no longer needed. Those things are no longer needed to establish an understanding of the most secret causes of personal and social processes. In other words, the unconscious, technological unconscious that we were talking about in the first quote we started with tonight. Mere electric speed-up makes X-ray awareness natural. It's like the 1993 Leonard Cohen song, Everybody Knows. Remember that song? Everybody knows, everybody sees. He's talking about the unified consciousness. Everybody sees the speed-up, but the speed-up is not what's to be seen. The tribal inertia is what's to be seen. The fact we're not moving anywhere.
Mm.
We're just dancing on the head of a resonating pin, so to speak. Mere electric speed-up makes X-ray awareness natural. That means you are predicting a future. But every possible future is obsolete compared to the imploded situation we're in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's rearview mirror just to see electric speed-up. Any administrator today is aware of his environment as a universal teaching machine. Read that again. Any administrator today is aware of his environment, whatever media he's got his job with or role in, he's aware of it as a universal teaching machine, a programmer. So these are important quotes. It's like people would read Nietzsche and read his aphorisms and think about them. This is aphoristic writing. This is writing that you have to meditate on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, opposite LaRouche is there fingering right on this particular, we're doing page 33 of my book, on the right-hand side is McLuhan, but on the left-hand side, page 32, is a bunch of LaRouche quotes where LaRouche is saying, in light of all that we've been just discussing, the broad range of McLuhan, here's LaRouche. In other words, a society characterized by zero technological growth as a policy of general practice is a dying society, a form of society morally unfit to continue existing. Then he goes on to knock John von Neumann and some other MIT scientists. It's kind of puny compared to McLuhan. But then we switch over back to LaRouche. LaRouche becomes a predicting prophet of cold fusion, which bypasses the information society. So anyways, the juggling of the two is part of the yoga here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's talking about words. Communicable images are the forms of the mediation. He's just talking about words. McLuhan's talking about vast macro multi-consciousness environments.
Mm.
And the beginning of talking about it is to take that big word, that big charismatic concept of ESP, and he mentions LSD, take those then begin with those and show that the situation's passed whatever images you have of LSD and ESP.
Mm-hmm.
The next quote is relevant to this. It's from Understanding Media. Okay, you read the ESP as old hat. Give us a slow version.
Okay, it's all capital letters, this first sentence here. ESP is old hat when effects precede causes. The patterns of formerly hidden processes now begin to obtrude on every hand. Prescience, prophetic vision, and artistic awareness are no longer needed to establish an understanding of the most secret causes of personal and social processes. Mere electric speed-up makes X-ray awareness natural. Any administrator today is aware of his environment as a universal teaching machine.
I guess some ideas when you reread it. You hear on Coast to Coast with George Norrie and Art Bell daily the latest prescient, prophetic vision, and artistic awareness. It's obsolete, it's cheap, it's snazzy, new one every night, right?
Yeah.
And Art Bell is the administrator who's totally aware of his show as a universal teaching machine. And he knows that he just has to stay at the switchboard and let these people come in with their content every night. But he knows he's in the anchor position of creating effects, if he's creating any. He might be fantasizing he's got an effect. But he's the administrator of all these prophets, and he's the one who's aware of his show as a universal teaching machine.
Mm-hmm.
He has a sense of responsibility about it, you know?
Yeah.
As he's talking on the show about what people, you know, he'll have some crank callers call in, he'll swat them off, you'll have other people who are sort of interesting but eccentric, you'll say, oh, I'll think about that. You know, he plays it off.
Mm-hmm.
He's the administrator.
Yeah.
And yet that's just one little puny medium, a late night show. Look at all the other shows. Look at Rush Limbaugh. Look at television. Look at Katie Couric. Look at the millions of things. This phrase, effects precede causes. To see how effects precede the causes is the new kind of ESP. And it's based, and it's the most secret causes, personal social processes. But anybody can see it if they get a handle on what he's saying, because he says the big secrets are protected by public credulity. This very paragraph we're reading is protected by public credulity. Most people would not believe that prescience or prophetic vision or artistic awareness is obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
This is dangerous stuff, as I've said before, in terms of what it does to institutions that go around hoiking up their so-called cultural wisdom.
Well, back in the 90s, you would think we would talk about Rush Limbaugh and a few other key
Jerry
folks
Springer.
As being holopathic retrievals.
Yes.
Do you still think of them in those terms, or do they know? Does that?
No, holopathic retrieval is what I meant when I was saying we never left the telegraph. 1850, the implosion. The photograph, the movie, the radio, the television, and the computer were extensions and refinements of the imploded state. Once we got into the digital phase, we're even refining it on a nano level, and so I came up with the word hologram, which was the environment that each fad created, but it was a tiny and tinier one. But it's the Android meme, replaying within the paralysis and inertia of multi-consciousness and fused consciousness, replaying the replays that were done from telegraph to television within the imploded tactile state of the electric fact itself. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So, no, we still got holopathic retrievals going.
Right.
But it is superseded by a post-holopathic environment of non-communication.
Non-communication. In other words, language that doesn't make sense, or just transcends language.
Environments that we're talking about, the Tetrad management position of the Secret Council 10 is what everybody does today.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody listens to anybody else. Everybody engages in what Baudrillard calls the ecstasy of communication, or mixed media transmitting of signals, but nobody can stop and make a position on it and modulate it to chaos.
Well, Bush definitely, the White House definitely is proving that to be true.
Right. And they anticipated that they would be a failure, so they beat everybody by not communicating anything in the first place. They're not even in the game. They're not concerned that it is chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
Their only role is to say, everything is on course, no problem, and know that nobody's listening, and they're the only
ones. Nobody's listening. Okay.
Nobody is listening and trying to understand why he has to say that. What everybody's doing is creating media like a movie about where Bush gets assassinated or magazine shows, and they're covering all kinds of other media environments. The White House is a puny environment. It is only there to organize American culture with a sense of coherence, and the American culture is a global image now, so they're organizing the whole planet, but it's only when people in rhythmic cycles fall back on having a centralized visual panopticon perspective. It rotates in with all the other perspectives. Katie Couric is way more powerful than the White House.
Now that's
way more powerful. Way more involved in people's lives. It's what they live with, what their thinking and lifestyle patterns are mirrored off.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a Bush press conference. I've never read anything he's done or anything. I don't even follow any of the news. But I will listen to whatever's on the radio. That tells me what's going on, because
yeah.
They'll speak in English and they'll talk about, well, this happened, there was a hurricane in New Orleans. You know, that's all you need to know. But I don't get involved in those processes, because the real process is not communicable. It is
knowing. You don't have 14 television sets on all different channels all day long at the same time?
No, I consume no media. I do it very microscopically, like when I'm maybe eating something, or washing some dishes or something, or a little bit I eat, I'll put on the radio. I hear some music. I have all different stations. Just pop around and figure out what I'm going to listen to for a few times. But it just tells me what the dateline is today.
Yeah.
What date they are saying it is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what I talk about. Like, what I'm talking about now is what I'm always thinking and talking about.
Yes.
Other things I talk about. And that's what I think about. And often, as a result of that, there's only coincidence that happens. I'll think of something, turn on the radio, and the thing will come back to me. So that's a synchrony I get daily.
Right.
Not that that's a prophetic state of being. It's just the result of being, in a way, super detached. Or thinking and perceiving on a totally different level, which is actually just responding to the present, not the particular. I don't see it's a seamless web. There's only one thing that's being said, if there is anything to be paid attention to, and that's from the White House. And they ain't saying anything. So you don't even have to listen to that. So we come to the next quote from Understanding Media, where, and let's see if this relates to what we were just talking about, page 173. Here, you read it.
Okay, page 173 from Media. When was this again published?
1964. It would not be the same page in the 1994 re-edition published by MIT. So this is the McGraw-Hill edition, little paperback.
Okay. If there is indeed a terrible nihilism in the photo and substitution of shadow for substance, then we are surely not the worse for knowing it. The technology of the photo is an extension of our own being and be withdrawn from circulation like any other technology if we decide that it is virulent. But amputation of such extensions of our physical being calls for as much knowledge and skill as are prerequisite to any other physical amputation.
So we've done the ESP quotes. I've organized it to present the ESP quotes to show the amazing state of the superangelic condition, which is very hard to image, but we got an approximation through these great quotes that I brought together, and then you lead into the modern computer use of ESP of organizing media ecology. And so here is a quote that shows him talking about the possibility of removing certain media from consciousness every now and then, like the photograph. So he says, if there is indeed a terrible nihilism in the photo, especially if that's the beginning of the Gestalt of virtuality, you know, 150 years ago, and that's going to cancel out the book. And the West was building itself, Christianity was building itself on the book. If there is indeed a terrible nihilism in the photo, and a substitution of shadows for substance, and he's saying, for Americans, that may be the way it is, or for Westerners, it is just shadows. May not be shadows for post-literate people, but it's just no substance. Then we are surely not the worse for knowing it. We must recognize this, he's saying. We are not the worse for knowing it. The technology of the photo is an extension of our own being, like all technologies, and can be withdrawn from circulation like any other technology if we decide that it is virulent. But it's not just a simple matter of withdrawing it. we have to be like a surgeon, because amputation of such extensions, and extensions is in italics, but amputation of such extensions of our physical being calls for as much knowledge and skill as are prerequisite to any other physical amputation, like in surgery. In other words, you're going to amputate, but there's going to be side effects. So you got to be ready to replace it with a balanced sensory diet. So it's not just simple censorship. It's like he would say, you stop TV in a culture for 6 months, then you bring it back on to balance off the effects of not having TV. All these media, in relation to others, have services and disservices. So that's the ecology you learn to manage, and that's the new ESP, or feed forward, as we have in the quote back on page 31.
Well, if you turn TV off, everybody would become so preoccupied with what is right in front of them, with their family and maybe possibly their neighbors and their garden, they wouldn't know that there was a rest of the world out there.
No.
Then you turn the TV back on, and all of a sudden the world would be back.
No, you're forgetting radio. They'd be equally involved with the world, like World War II was a global civil war. You'd be still in the global tactility with the radio environment.
Mm-hmm.
They'd still ignore their families.
Mm.
It'd be a hyper environment, because people would be still in the effect of television on TV, on the radio.
They'd still be running the Nielsen ratings on the radio to find out what they should be broadcasting.
That's right. But there would be...